Any objection to the motion to extend to complete the stack of two? Hearing no objections. Sue Goodwin, you're up next, then Jim Dingman.
Okay, I'll try to be quick. But Julia, in your comments, you seem to indicate that there was a sort of an information gap, that there was some information that you needed. It might be with regard to audience size. It might be regarding matching donations to shows. But if it is true that you need more information, can you send us a very exact description of what you need? You know, with some sort of timeline when you would like to receive it?
Certainly. And I think part of that, I will place a little bit of the blame on me, is that we need to get to a point where I'm able to work at a higher level more consistently. I think there also might need to be some training that I need to do with some of the staff that I work with the unit, so they understand because I do ask a lot of questions. And I think a lot of times when I might get an answer of, oh, we can't do that, or I don't have that, it might be a misunderstanding of what information we're looking for. So, and I think that's something that I could work with Stephanie on, because I have a feeling that she and I would have very similar needs, given that we have similar backgrounds, at least in the fundraising side.
So I'm confident if you tell us what you need to know, we can provide it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Jim Dingman.
Yeah, thank you, Julia. I know this is a daunting task, and there is indeed a direct relationship between audience size and the amount of money that comes in with listener members. That's a fact. But I have a novel suggestion about how we could raise money. I'd like our beloved comrades to simply drop their lawsuits so that we don't have to waste money frivolously, honestly, into infinity. Instead, use it to produce good content and radio, which can raise money. I think that's a better use of our resources. In fact, that's the only reason I'm here. Thank you.
I hear you.
Thank you. And Julia, thank you so much for your dedication to joining our meeting from your son's baseball game.
Appreciate that. Of course.
And good luck to him.
I'm glad that good thing for cell phones and Zoom.
There you go. So that's the end of this item on the agenda. The next item, which is a 10-minute item, is about convening PNB committees. So let me first note that actually both of these things are a little bit about mistakes, but.
Chairs, sorry to interrupt you. What's the time? What's the time, Sunset, for that?
Ten minutes. Okay. Last meeting I asked for directors who were willing to convene the committees to make sure they got up and rolling, and then, you know, elect a pro tem chair, et cetera, and then eventually elect a permanent chair once all of the LSB delegates are and secretaries too, for these committees. So in my list of directors who volunteered to convene committees, I made one mistake. So audit was Donna Grimes, finance was Jim Sagerton, governance was Lawrence Reyes, elections was Teresa Allen. And then I said strategic planning and programming committees needed directors, but, I was remiss in noting that on here that, Beth von Gutten volunteered to convene the strategic planning committee. So the thing I need is one director who's, on the programming committee to volunteer to be the convener of that committee. And I don't know if people want to, you know, kind of volunteer and say that right now or what, but, if somebody doesn't volunteer, then I'm going to voluntold somebody to do it.
Julie, this is Heather. In the last programming committee meeting, I was asked to be chair pro tem, so I could convene the meeting.
That works for me.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, making note of that. Then that means we've got the committees covered there in terms of just having conveners, right? Okay, so then also about convening the committees, and this is our first motion that's in the appendix for this evening. So, you know, I made a mistake in our previous meeting where we had a motion to ratify the election of directors to the PMB directors to the committees. I thought I would save a few minutes by not reading all the names and just referred to the, you know, people as listed in the teller's report. And it turns out that what I needed to do was read a motion that included everybody's names in it as part of the meeting. And so what we're going to do is we're going to vote on, I mean, I suppose you could call this a motion to correct the previous motion that didn't have everybody listed. So at any rate, it'll take me a second to read the motion, but here it goes. Whereas the Pacifica National Board held elections for directors to serve on its committees, and the teller's report dated February 27th, 2022 has been shared with all directors as of March 1st, 2022. Therefore, be it resolved that the Pacifica National Board ratifies the teller's report as modified by the PMB at the March 10th, 2022 meeting and affirms the following duly elected directors to serve on the PMB committees. Audit Committee, Donald Goldmacher, Evelia Jones, Egberto Willis, Jim Dingman, Donna Grimes. Coordinating Committee, Mark Van Landyte, Evelia Jones, Teresa Allen, James Sagerton, Sue Goodwin. Governance Committee, James McFadden, Lawrence Reyes, Marianne Martinez, Jim Dingman, Vanessa Dixon Briggs, Bert Cohen. Finance Committee, James McFadden, Beth Von Gunten, Susan Young, James Sagerton, Julie Hewitt. Elections Committee, Donald Goldmacher, Evelia Jones, Teresa Allen, Sean Rhodes, Vanessa Dixon Briggs, Bert Cohen. Strategic Planning Committee, James McFadden, Beth Von Gunten, Susan Young, Jim Dingman, Donna Grimes, Heather Gray. Programming Committee, Mark Van Landyte, Ali Lexa, Egberto Willis, Jim Dingman, Sue Goodwin, Heather Gray. End of motion. Can I get a second? I move that motion. Can I get a second?
Second, Beth.
Thank you, Beth. Any discussion of the motion? Thank you. Are there any objections to the motion? Hearing no objections.
Oh, hello.
Go ahead, Teresa.
I have my hand raised. I guess we see this in the minutes. We don't necessarily need, I'm just wondering, has this all been sent to KPFTX?
We're working on the KPFTX thing. Thank you. Any other discussion of the motion?
I have my hand raised, but not for that.
Okay. Any objections to the motion? Hearing no objections, the motion passes. Thank you. The next. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you. So I scheduled convening the governance committee for April the 27th, which is the fourth Wednesday of the month, which was normally the time the governance committee met in 2021. And that's subject to change. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Jim Sagerton.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to make a caveat to this. It's based on a situation where the result would have been the same if we had played it out in a different way, but I guess it was on the audit committee. Darlene Pagano was initially elected, and then we didn't have a time when people could decline their nominations. So she resigned from being elected, and then we chose the next person who got the next number of votes from that station as the person who came up to replace that person. But normally we would have a period where people could decline their nomination. When that doesn't happen, the normal way that you, if a person resigns from a committee or, you know, something happens and they can no longer attend, you have to have another election. You don't just go, it's not like the runner up in an election. It's in a PNB or an LS, a delegate election. You have to have a new election. So I just want to put that caveat in the record so that, you know, if somebody resigns in midterm, we're not going to think, oh, the next highest vote getter steps up here. Actually, you have to have another election.
Thank you, James. Any other points on this before we move on to the next item? All right.
Wait a minute.
So, Darlene, go ahead.
I just want to point out that we had that situation for James as well. So my understanding from the teller, and I may have misunderstood, is that when the ballot goes out to the membership, you had to have withdrawn before then, but it happened very quickly, and there really wasn't time, not because it was ignored. It was, we were rushing so much. So, I don't know if that helps Jim at all, but we had it for more than one situation as well.
Yes, Chair, may I be recognized briefly?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't mean to cast any aspersion on Darlene or anybody in that situation. It was simply because we were moving quickly, we were behind schedule, and it happened very quickly. I didn't mean to imply that there was anything funny about it or in any way. It was an unusual situation.
Got it, thanks. Teresa?
Yes, point of information, I guess lost track. What's happened to Development Committee?
It is a Development Task Force.
Task Force, okay. And how does one get on it?
You just go.
Okay.
That's what it says.
I think our chair is frozen.
And anyone can join the task.
Okay.
Go ahead,
thank
Beth.
I chair the National Development Task Force, and I was just going to say anyone can join, and I'll send you access information. If I know you, if I should say that to everyone, anyone who's interested, let me know, and I'll put you on the list for notification. Thank you.
Chair, we have 30 seconds left in this item.
Got it. Jim Dingman, is your hand up for?
Yes, it is.
Go ahead.
I want to mention to the board that a former chair of the WBAI Local Advisory Board, who also in the past won national awards for her radio production, Nan Rubin, at the town hall meeting we held a few weeks ago, volunteered to help with developing fundraising strategies. She runs a radio station in Las Cruces, New Mexico, and she should be enlisted and tapped and used in terms of her experience in the Development Task Force.
Thanks, Jim, for sharing that. That brings us to the next item on the agenda, which is a motion that Lawrence raised at least a meeting or two ago that got postponed until this evening. And it's a motion on setting a new PNB meeting date and time. And I will read the motion. It's in the appendix. Whereas the Pacifica National Board PNB is a tri-coastal body with members who experience a time zone differential of up to 3 hours and includes persons whose employment and or other obligations require early morning activity. And whereas the meeting starting time of 5:30 p.m. Pacific time chosen to accommodate West Coast workers has a punishing effect on East Coast workers because meetings regularly go beyond 10 p.m. making for a very long day. And whereas the PNB has a greater opportunity for efficiency and success when its members are clear thinking and energized. And whereas the LSBs at KPFT, WBAI, and WPFW meet on a weekday, the KPFA LSB meets third Saturdays of alternate months, and the KPFK LSB meets third Sundays of each month, be it resolved that regular meetings of the PNB shall be held on the fourth Saturday of each month from 10 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Any necessary continuation meeting shall be held on the following Saturday, and special or emergency meetings may be scheduled for weekday evenings for up to 60 minutes.
Chair, may I motivate and the motion was seconded by, oh my goodness, what's his name?
Sharon.
So the motion is in order, Chair.
Okay. Go ahead and motivate.
Thank you, Chair. So I just think at this point, we have been meeting and sometimes I even fall asleep or start to feel punchy. And I just think of the people at T and I and W must be tired by the time they get off the phone. I would even believe, being an East Coast kid myself, not even having time to eat dinner. Like, even now, I've been eating my dinner while at this meeting. So, and also, there's some people who have expressed to me, that they are a little beyond their years, to be at a meeting so late. So I asked my colleagues to take a look at this and, see, what accord we could reach, in regards to, changing the time and the date, of a PNB meeting that is exhausting and sometimes goes beyond 12 o'clock, 12 midnight. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. I see a stack. I see Jim McFadden, Jim Dingman, Vanessa, and Darlene. James McFadden.
Yeah, I hate to disagree with Lawrence, but I will on this. I really like to put my weekends aside for family issues, and I've already got, you know, meetings that are already on weekends, as is. And, I have to say a once every 2 weeks staying up late at night, I find, you know, is not easy, but it's much preferred to losing my weekends with my family. So I'm going to argue against this.
Thanks. Jim Dingman.
Yeah, I have to agree with, Jim. You know, I have responsibility to take care of little kids on the weekend, and, you know, I have other obligations that have to do with, endeavors I'm involved with. So, you know, I hear you, Lawrence. It's tough, but, you know, this is like a second, full-time unpaid job as it is. And so to have it eat into the weekend where there's going to be other committee meetings anyway, I just have to sort of draw the line on it. But I hear you, man. I don't want to be difficult about it, but it just would be too unreasonable, frankly.
Thanks, Jim. Vanessa.
So, first, in the horrible happenstance that we would actually be meeting on Saturdays, I could not do fourth Saturdays because I have a work executive board meeting I have to attend at 10 a.m. every fourth Saturday. So that Saturday would not work for me. In terms of meeting on the weekend, I echo comments, my colleagues who just spoke. That's personal time. That's family time. I got to buy grocery. This is my third year in the PNB, and this is the first time that we haven't met every week. It pains me to think of sacrificing. I mean, should we need to meet more than we currently have been meeting, which is pretty reasonable? Meeting every weekend would be horrible. It would just, I'd rather be a little bit, as one of the punished East Coasters, referenced in the motion, I'd rather give up some time during the week when I'm already fully engaged in a sort of a work mode. So I could not object more. I hear you, but please, I'm praying we don't do that.
Thanks, Vanessa. Darlene.
There are very few Saturdays that go unneeded for other elements, but I would point out that the fourth Saturday is the weekend of Memorial Day, Rosh Hashanah, Thanksgiving, and Christmas this year.
Thanks, Darlene. James Sagerton.
Thank you, Chair. I do understand that it's Sharon Salam who has prompted this effort, and I appreciate that, she being an East Coaster. But it's usually, interestingly enough, it's usually the West Coast people who are trying to save us East Coasters from this horrible fate that we suffer. But I don't know why that is. It's just, since I've been around, that seems to be the way it's been. But I will tell you, I have been to some of the meetings on the West Coast on Saturdays, and they are interminable. I'm afraid sometimes having a meeting on Saturday might open these meetings up to being longer. Yeah. Having that ceiling sometimes makes us get done what we need to get done, more quickly. And I think also over the years, people have known and understood and adjusted to this time slot. We all know what's involved, and, you know, if we can't do it, then we don't. And while that may unfairly exclude some people, we have adjusted to it. I think we're used to it. I'm used to it. And, boy, I'd hate to have to give up a Saturday, my Saturdays. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
John, for the stack.
Okay, Sean, I got you after Teresa. Go ahead, Teresa.
Is there any way that the people on the West Coast could allow our meeting to start a half an hour earlier, which would be 5 o'clock their time, or maybe even 4:30 their time?
5 o'clock's okay with me.
5 o'clock, 4:30's okay with me as well.
Because I know some of you might have jobs, but maybe you're flexible. I don't know.
Thanks, Teresa. Next I had Sean Rhodes, then Donald.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate the consideration for an East Coast folks, East Coast person, which is what I am. However, I work Saturdays, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. Moving meetings of the PMB to 1 o'clock Eastern Time is essentially cutting me out from the meetings. So, no, I'm not in favor of this motion.
Thanks, Sean. Donald, and then Sue Goodwin.
One question.
I'm sorry, Donald, did you say you don't have a question?
I'd like to call the question.
Oh, you'd like to call the question.
Second.
Mr. Tatum, help me here. Yes, go ahead.
It has been moved and seconded to call the question.
Yep.
It takes a two-thirds vote.
Is there any objection?
Yes. Are there any objections to calling the question?
Calling
the question for the newer members means that we would immediately go to a vote if we call the question.
I object, Chair, because I believe Teresa was extending the olive branch for an amendment.
All right. So there's an objection, so we need to go to a vote, Marianne. And the vote is on calling the question.
Correct.
Marianne?
Madam Chair, point of order.
Yes, go ahead with the point of order.
Perhaps there is no objection to continuing the conversation for 5 minutes, which is what we'd spend on taking the vote.
Agreed.
You already tried, no objection.
Yes, it's true. I tried no objection, and I got an objection to calling the question. So we have to take a vote on calling the question. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Marianne.
Yeah. Teresa Allen.
And a yes means we must vote. I'll say no.
Call the question no. Okay. Jim Dingman.
No.
Votes no. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Pass.
Passes. Okay. Donald Goldmacher?
Yes.
Yes. Sue Goodwin? Sue Goodwin? Sue, are you muted?
Sue, you are muted.
Hold on. Okay, I'm not clear what we are voting on.
We're voting on whether to vote.
Yes, I think we should vote.
Julie, you're muted. Okay.
Okay. Heather Gray.
Yes.
Votes yes. Donna Grimes. Donna? Are you muted? I'm not hearing anything. Okay. Ophelia Jones.
Yes.
Votes yes. Ali Lexa.
Yes.
Votes yes. James McFadden.
Yes.
Votes yes. Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Votes yes. Lawrence Reyes.
No.
Votes no. Sean Rhodes.
Yes.
Votes yes. James Sagerton.
Yes.
Votes yes. Mark Van Landet.
Yes.
Votes yes. Beth Van Gunten.
Yes.
Votes yes. Victor Willis.
Yes.
Votes yes. Susan Young.
Yes.
Votes yes. Vanessa, you passed.
I did. Yes.
Votes yes. Okay, do we have any others missing? I have not heard from Donna Grimes. Okay, I'm still not hearing from Donna Grimes. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 yes. And 1, 2, 3 no. The motion passes and it is time then to call the question.
Are there objections to the motion? Lawrence's motion to change the meeting time?
Object.
Thank you. Marianne, can we take a vote?
Yeah.
This vote is on the motion.
Right. The motion to change meeting times. Okay. Teresa Allen.
For the motion, no.
Okay. Votes no. Jim Dingman.
No.
Votes no. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
No.
Votes no. Donald Goldmacher. Donald Goldmacher?
No.
Votes no. Sue Goodwin?
No.
Votes no. Heather Gray?
No.
Votes no. Is Donna Grimes here?
Yes. I vote no.
Gotcha. Votes no. Ophelia Jones?
No.
Votes no. Ali Lexa?
No.
Votes no. James McFadden.
No.
Votes no. Darlene Pagano.
No.
Votes no. Lawrence Reyes. Lawrence?
Diana Soa. Yes.
Votes yes. Sean Rhodes.
Nope.
Votes no. James Sagerton.
No.
Votes no. Mark Van Landert.
No.
Votes no. Beth Van Gunten.
No.
Votes no. Egberto Willis.
No.
Votes no. Susan Young.
No.
Votes no. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 no votes and 1 yes vote. And Julie, I just realized I forgot to ask you on the calling the question. How do you choose to vote on this one?
I'll abstain as I would have on calling the question. Thank you.
Okay, so 17 no votes and one yes vote. The motion fails.
All right. That brings us to the next item on the agenda. This was also an item that was postponed from our previous meeting to this evening, and this is discussion of the Pacifica National Advisory Council. This is an item that there is a motion in the appendix, but just to be clear, that motion passed the PMB on January 20th, 2022. It was a motion out of the Strategic Planning Committee, and it was to set up this Pacifica National Advisory Council. This is a 20-minute item on the agenda for this evening. And the object of the 20-minute item on the agenda this evening was basically to discuss, the process of nominating people for the Pacifica National Advisory Council. So now what I'm going to do is kind of refer to that motion that we passed, that the PMB passed back in January. And I'm not going to read the whole thing verbatim. It's in minutes and so on and so forth. But I'm going to hit some high points of some items that are in this motion by way of kind of introducing the topic. And the idea would be that we would, this evening discuss for up to 20 minutes, the idea of how to go about nominating people, et cetera, and, start proceeding with this. If we weren't going to proceed with it, somebody would have to, move to do something different, and that would have to pass. But the basic, and I'll ask Stephanie to weigh in a little bit too, but the basic idea here, was to allow or to have this advisory council that has no particular authority, right? But we would pick eminent people for this advisory council. They would get together. They would meet at least twice a year is how we've set it up. We didn't specify, how many people needed to be on the committee other than it couldn't be more than 25 people, and that we wouldn't elect more than 12 people at a time. So basically what would happen is we'd start nominate some people and vote them onto this council. They would have terms of no more than 5 years. People would rotate off. People might drop off, et cetera. But they would, as people fell off, we would nominate more people. But at no time could we have more than 25 people. And then the other object of this group would be that they would meet. They would perhaps give us some advice. It's an advisory council. Many nonprofits have something like this, kind of a board of, or not a board in the sense that the PMB is a board, but a group of thought leaders, journalists, public intellectuals, et cetera, people who have expertise in media, et cetera, who would answer basically the following question writ large. You people are crazy if you don't fill in the blank, give us some piece of advice, right? That they would be able to do something like that. then the PMB could act on those things or not act on those things, so the advisory council wouldn't have any specific, authority other than to make recommendations to us.
I'd like to be recognized. I was the first to hand up.
Yeah, as soon as I'm done with my little motivation.
Okay.
And I didn't have much more to say about this. We specified that current members of Pacifica Governance and current Pacifica Management weren't eligible. We didn't rule out having people who were former staff members of management or Pacifica Governance being on the advisory committee. That's the basic upshot of having an advisory committee. Before I turn to you, Lawrence, I just wondered whether you know, Stephanie might want to offer up a little bit of perspective on, you know, the benefit of having an advisory council.
Well, one of the good things really about an advisory council is that they provide an insight and guidance and knowledge on things that the board's focus on, you know, it's the strategic planning, the, you know, working with the executive director, the figuring with the budgets, and they do a lot of that, not really the day-to-day, but sort of the workings of an organization, whereas advisory board can take sort of a backseat on to the more pressing needs of the day-to-day operations, and they can focus on volunteer recruitment. They can focus on finding individuals that may, it's a good feeder system into the board. Often with nonprofits, and I've said this at other committee meetings and LSB boards that I've sat in, a lot of nonprofit boards are usually filled with people who have influence or affluence. In easier terms, you give, you get, or you get out of the way. With advisory boards, what you can do is that you can fill your board with what you need. If you need a lawyer, you need a representative from banking, you need a representative from the media, you need, you know, in LA, we don't have anybody from the movie industry, the sports industry, from television, we don't have that representation, and you fill your boards, or in this case, we would fill an advisory committee with the roles of not so much by the person, but by the role that we need filled. So if we want to make headway into actual representation of the communities that we're serving, then we would reach out to, and I'm only speaking on behalf of LA, but we would reach out to community leaders from the areas where our airwaves are. So do we have representation from, you know, South Central LA? Do we have representation from Palos Verdes? Do we have representation from Pasadena, from Upland? You know, so we really search not only for representation of the communities that we're serving, but also with the knowledge that we need. If we're figuring out, strategic planning, then let's find someone that's an expert in strategic planning. Again, we want to make headway into the entertainment industry, then let's find someone that's representative from the movie world or from the entertainments or sports, that kind of thing. So it's an effective way, again, that we can have people come in to advise on issues, not dealing with the strategic day-to-day operating issues that boards deal with.
Thanks. And let me just make one quick little comment.
Come on.
Hang on 1 second, Lawrence.
You had two people motivate in favor of the motion.
Hang on.
I raised my hand because I have a motion to make. And I think, I don't want to disrespect you, Chair. Go ahead.
Thank you. I was going to correct myself and say I referred to it as the Pacifica National Advisory Council. The motion says National Pacifica Advisory Council. So it would be NPAC, not PNAC. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Okay. So Boricuas, we call this un ajo confundido. And what I'm going to translate that to say that this is a ball of rice that is very confused. It's not edible. I would have preferred for Stephanie to hear from the board members first, then she could have gave a more informed decision or a more informed opinion of what she thought of this albatross that is about to jump into the network. And I'm very surprised that two people were allowed to poison the well and allowed to motivate the motion in favor of motivating the motion, without hearing from the board members first. I think it would, dispensing with the motion, reading it, I think that's a fair thing, but to motivate in favor without hearing the rest of the board members and what their perspectives, I think poisoned the well. So I make a motion that we table this to the governance committee.
Second. Second the motion.
Madam Chair, this is a parliamentarian.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm gonna raise my hand. there we go. I thought I taught the NB, the PNB, not to use the motion to table. Because the, let me tell you.
Chair, I'm in refer. Thank you, Mr. Tatum. I apologize.
Okay. All right. So let me finish though. A little half a minute, I can get some education in. Don't use the motion to table, because if you use it, then whatever motion you're speaking of is supposed to come back at the same meeting you're talking about. Now, you can refer it to a committee. However, the committee has to be in place, and it has to be a vote of the board to refer something to a committee. It has to be a vote of the whole board. Thank you.
So, Lawrence, I need you to restate what your motion is and then make sure I have a second for it before we can continue, because I want to make sure nobody's confused.
Thank you, Chair. So my motion is to refer this to the Governance Committee for the purpose that there is a Governance Committee, and also to get the perspective of Governance Committee members that if they volunteer, they normally know about the bylaws and process. And so that's why I'm making a motion to refer this motion to the Governance Committee. Thank you.
A point of information, Madam Chair?
Yes, please. Go ahead, Jim.
Was this argued and debated and discussed in the previous board, this motion?
Yes. It's passed already.
All right. Because I personally think these are very serious issues that should be discussed right now rather than be tabled. I have to say that.
Chair?
Thanks.
A point of order?
Yes, go ahead, James Sagerton.
Yeah, you can't refer a motion. I don't think you can refer a motion to a committee that's already been passed. This motion was already passed by the board, so we could amend it. I don't think we can refer it to a committee.
Let me step in again.
Yep, go ahead, Mr. Tatum.
I thought I taught the board about the word remand. That's one of the options that the PNB has, to remand it to the committee, which means that they send it back to the committee for further work and more perfection if they wish. True enough, James, you can amend this motion. You can amend it. You can accept it. You can reject it. You can send it back to the committee. In other words, remain. So those are the four options that you have. The fifth option would be to discharge the committee, but we won't talk about that. We'll just talk about the four things. You can accept this report, reject it, amend it, or send it back. Thank you, Ms. Chair.
Chair, may I ask a parliamentary inquiry?
And McFadden, I have a point of information.
Yeah, go ahead, Jim Sagerton, then we're
back. I have a point of order, Chair.
I wanted to ask Mr. Tatum.
I have a point of order, Chair.
The point of order takes precedent. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Yes, Mr. Sagerton already got a parliamentary opinion, and now he's trying to jump the stack by getting another one. And you have a bunch of hands up, and I'd rather that we go to the stack, Chair.
Jim Sagerton, I'm going to ask if it can wait, and we can go through the stack. I've got quite a lot of hands up here.
I think it could shortcut a lot of time if I just asked a very quick question.
Go ahead, Jim Sagerton.
Thank you, Chair. I want to ask Mr. Tatum, can you remand this to a committee that it didn't come from? It came from, I believe, the Strategic Planning Committee, not the Governance Committee.
Good question. You can remand it to any existing committee, including the one that it came from. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Back to the stack, James McFadden and Darlene.
So I have a couple of questions. The first is, this motion's already passed. So why do we need to vote on it again? That's question number one. Question number two, since it's already passed, if we don't do anything, then it's still in effect, and I think. And then question number three is, I assume at any time this advisory council can be dissolved by a majority vote of the PNB. So we could, you know, it could exist right now technically because it was passed on January 20th, but at some future meeting we could decide this is a waste of time. And we could dissolve it, you know, with a majority, vote. Those are three questions. I hope people can keep those. And then I just have a request is it would be really nice to have a, you know, a 2-page or so document describing the goals and the thinking of the, committee that came up with this idea, how they think it would function and stuff, you know, just so that the rest of us know the expectations so that either we, you know, will do a lot to support it in the future or we will decide to get rid of it in the future if it's not meeting those goals.
Thanks, Darlene. Then Susan Young.
Right. I have a couple of things I'll say as fast as I can. I love that Stephanie pointed out that we are going, that this should be comprised of eminent people, meaning skilled, experienced people in the areas in which we ourselves are not, you know, at the top of the game. But I don't think that's how this motion is set up. It's not that we will vet people, screen people, or anything like that. People just put themselves up and then we're supposed to vote. They are not a governance body. So I don't think if we're going to send it to another committee to be looked at, it should be governance because this is not supposed to be governors and, how they operate. Are they going to report to the executive director or they're going to get a slot in at each and every PNB meeting to listen to their opinions? So I'm having a hard time with this one. Thanks.
Susan Young, then Vanessa.
Yes, I am taller than this. I do not know the best way to deal with this, but I think that is very poorly crafted. I second a lot of what Darlene says. And what we're voting on tonight is standing this committee up. I'm not sure what that means procedurally if it's already been adopted. It was adopted by the previous PNB out of the strategic planning committee, and the first people listed for being on this advisory council are former PNB members and former staff members. This sounds like a parking place for PNB members that is intended to circumvent term limits. I think it's very ill-conceived. And I think that for the executive director to identify the areas of expertise that would be valuable is a better way to go. And I would think that she can already do that herself with advice from PNB members. And to set up a supposedly non-governmental entity where these people can speak out in public and can
say,
enough said.
Thanks. Vanessa, then Donald.
Sure. So, first, I appreciate that the new ED, gave her opinion. That's why we hired her. She comes with a certain set of skills and opinions. And part of that is that evidently she's had some experience working with this kind of body that's being posed, which is why she could speak on it from an informed perspective. So I appreciate receiving that information. Helps me to, I have questions about it, but in terms of the body itself, that helped me to form my own opinion that I think that it would be a good thing. There's no way that, as the last speaker said, it could be some sort of body that would rival the PNB in some form or fashion, because they won't have the authority to do that. That's not the purpose. It's clearly stated. They're not part of the governance structure. They're advisory. So I kind of don't understand those points, but thank you, Stephanie, for giving us your the benefit of your expertise on this issue.
Donald and then Jim Dingman.
It seems to me there's a motion on the floor to remand this to the governance committee, and that's not what this conversation is about. So I would point that out, that that should be the focus of the conversation now. If we defeat this motion, then we can discuss what the heck this council is supposed to be about, what was the motivation for it in the first place, and whether Ms. Wells is correct or not about what this council is about is a whole other matter. Any expertise that she needs to assist her in turning this foundation around, she certainly has the authority to reach out to those people who do that. She doesn't need a council that has upwards of 25 people on it to tell her what to do, to give her advice, just like this board is ostensibly doing. So I would like people to speak to the motion to remand.
Excellent point in terms of people should be speaking to the motion to, Lawrence, did you say to remand to the governance committee?
Remand, refer, remand.
Okay.
I think Teresa's next, and I have my hand up again. And so does Jim Dingman.
Okay. Jim Dingman, then Teresa.
Well, I disagree with it being, to remand this. Of course, I don't favor a bunch of nattering nabobs, as good old Spiro Agnew used to say, and a bunch of people who basically want to sit on their behinds and do nothing. There's clear tasks that are needed to save this foundation. One, they want to come on and advise, okay, let's put them, turn them loose on trying to contact major foundations and see if we can take advantage of that. Two, we don't have any congressional presidents or presidents on Capitol Hill affecting the way the legislation is being talked about. And there is a gap right there to get people to do that. There's all these things that can be done to assist the executive director, the PNB in general, that are tasks that are not necessarily here in terms of the composition of this board. And I completely agree that, you know, it shouldn't be to remand it means that we're basically we're losing the ability to have 20 to 25 people help us immediately, practically, and gain ourselves out of this mess of having lost 75% of our audience in the past 20 years. That's the objective of all advice to be taken. No sitting on your asses and doing nothing. Forget about that.
Teresa, then Lawrence.
I suppose my question is directed toward the executive director. Could you possibly achieve what we're talking about would be the goals of this advisory committee just by selecting these people yourself? And therefore we would not spend our time vetting these people and possibly politically saying, don't want that person on there. So I'm just wondering if perhaps you could achieve these goals by selecting your own advisors, and we could certainly suggest them to you. So I'd like you to weigh in before I vote.
Go ahead, Stephanie.
Well, I mean, I do have a, as I'm sure everyone does, a group of people that you have worked with in the past, professional friendships and former coworkers, former donors, former advisors, mentors that I do reach out to on a regular basis, that are involved in different aspects of the community and businesses. And so I do reach out to people like that on a regular basis when I do have questions. And a lot of those folks that I reach out to on a regular basis are on this call right now. So, I get advice from many people. We would have to, with an advisory committee, you know, obviously figure out what the role would be from an outside perspective. Or, you know, if we have, it's kind of like with a board of directors, with other groups I've worked with, you then have your board of trustees. And your board of trustees don't have any voting power, but you want that name showing up as somebody that's connected to your organization. Could I select people to advise me on things? I do already. Do we want them to serve in some sort of capacity to the extent that their names are better associated with who we are? Like the lobbying, perfect example, you know, then we would have some sort of committee. I don't want to add any extra time, you know, to anybody's job, what they're doing now. I didn't really answer your question, but, you know, I do have people that I'm reaching out to on a regular basis that would be my own personal advisory committee. The question is, do we want to then have an official advisory committee whose names would benefit being connected to our organization publicly? Because what we really just want them to do, you know, is, again, they're bringing sort of a unique knowledge or, you know, augmenting sort of the skills that people have here that are on this call. And they're just there to kind of help effectively guide me and the organization as we move forward. I don't know if I really answered you, so I apologize for that, but.
Share your point of information, please.
Yes, go ahead, Vanessa.
I just wanted to clarify whether the advisory board would be specifically and only for the benefit of the ED or also the PNB. Because that's what I thought I heard in the question, is that how would this benefit the ED rather than how would this benefit the entire governance structure?
To answer your question, Vanessa, specifically in the motion that we passed back in January, it says, who can assist in advising the PNB on such issues as complying with the Pacifica mission, meeting our goals? I won't keep going, but it was designed to advise the PNB.
Thank you.
Chair, may I be recognized now?
Yes, go ahead, Lawrence, it's your turn.
Yeah, I just want to be clear. I value Stephanie's opinion and her informed opinion. I serve on the executive board of my union, which is 100,000 and something strong. And the executive director always hears the perspective of its board members. I also serve on another board, and the same thing happens. So the only reason I kind of weighed in heavy in regards to Stephanie is because I would have liked to hear her information after she got the perspective of my colleagues, right? So, I mean, that was the only reason I stepped in, Stephanie. No reflection on you. I've had conversations with you. I think you're great, and I think you you're running with this football, and you know, I'm here for to block for you or to whatever it is that I can do as a fullback, because I was a fullback at one time. So I'm just saying that. I just want to be clear that I wasn't trying to censor or disagree with Stephanie. I just thought that the perspective of my colleagues would have informed her better in regards, you know, would have gave her maybe a more balanced view. Thank you.
James McFadden, then James Sagert.
There seems to be some confusion here about what we're doing. this is not a motion that's been made. This is a discussion of a motion that already passed. So there's no vote on this motion again. There could be an alternate motion to undo this motion, but that hasn't been put forward. All there is a motion that's already passed. And in fact, if you read the motion, it says that you get February and September are the times when nominations would happen. February's gone and by, and so the only time nominations are going to be September. So that means we got a lot of months between now and then to kind of figure out the type of people that we might want to nominate should we want to go ahead with this. So it seems like we're spending a lot of time, you know, discussing something that maybe, you know, is not really important at this point. And unless somebody wants to try to undo this, but that's going to take a lot of time because you're going to have a much, much deeper. So at the moment, it just seems like we ought to move along on this whole process and end this discussion.
Timekeeper seeks recognition.
Yeah.
We are at time for this item, and we are also at time to adjourn to go into executive session. So I think we should consider voting at this point.
But I want to be clear. James McFadden's right. There wasn't a motion on the table. So remanding the motion to the governance committee means taking a motion that was already passed and sending it to the governance committee.
That's my understanding too, Chair.
That is correct.
Point of order. Wasn't the motion on the table for today standing this committee up?
It was not a motion. It was, we need to stand, listen.
We have voted in favor of standing up every other committee. That was a vote taken for every other committee.
The vote to stand up this committee happened.
It's not a committee.
It's not a committee. It's a council. Thank you. It's not a committee of the PMB. It's a council. It's a separate body, if you will. And to be clear, we were supposed to stand this up or not make nominations in February. It was on an agenda in February. We ran out of time in that meeting and then motions were passed to postpone this item to later meetings. And so what we've done is we didn't discharge the duty that we were supposed to discharge in February. It's whatever the sense of the body is what we'll do, but, we could wait till September. And start it up then. I also want to be careful. We cannot nominate more, be clear to people. I heard somebody say earlier, this would have at least 25 people on it. No, it can never have more than 25 people on it, this council, not according to the motion. So, as passed. So the governance committee would have to change that number for it to be bigger than 25. And then the other thing is, no more than 12 people can be put on this NPAC at any one time. So initially, we could put on no more than 12 people. We wouldn't have to put 12, but we could put on no more than 12. So I just want to say that. And then I also wanted to say that the way the motion was written and passed, it says members of the PNB are the people who nominate. And the PMB will vote on each nominee whether to accept or remove that person from the list of people on the NPAC. So I just wanted to say that people, we need to either have a motion to extend.
Motion to extend 5 minutes.
Second.
James, I have an amendment.
James, go ahead.
I want to extend for 10 minutes because I'd like to pass the WBAI budget, which has been pending after being approved unanimously by the Finance Committee since March 8th.
Second.
Any objections to the motion to extend the meeting time for 10 minutes? Hearing none. We're extended for 10 minutes, and that's before we go into closed session.
Point of order, I think the motion that is before us right now is to remand?
It is, but we needed a motion to extend. because we're already...
No, agree. And there was no objection to that?
Yes, there was no objection to that.
So I think that the...
Oh, I see. You're just saying, I'm sorry. You're just saying we're on the motion to remand. So,
exactly.
Are there any objections to the motion to remand?
Yes.
I object to it because
Thank
I
you.
Think
okay.
we need help.
Thank you. So we have objections. So, Marianne, can you do a roll call, please? And this is on the motion to remand, this motion that is the NPAC motion to the governance committee.
Okay. I'm ready.
Go, Marianne. Marianne, you're on mute.
Didn't really want to hear my dog. Okay, so a yes vote is a vote to remand this matter to the governance committee. Is that correct?
Yes.
Remand 7. Okay, Teresa Allen.
Allen says yes.
Votes yes. Jim Dingman.
No.
Votes no. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
No.
Votes no. Donald Goldmacher.
Yes.
Votes yes. Sue Goodwin, you're probably muted. Susan? I give up. Heather Gray.
No.
Votes no. Donna Grimes. I'll come around.
Sorry, I had to unmute. Pass.
Passes. Okay. Avelia Jones. Avelia Jones?
No.
Votes no. Ali Lexa?
No.
Votes no. James McFadden?
No.
Votes no. Darlene Pagano?
No.
Votes no. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Votes yes. Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Votes yes. James Sagerton?
No.
Votes no. Mark Van Landout?
Yes.
Votes yes. Beth Van Gunten?
No.
Votes no. Egberto Willis?
Yes.
Votes yes. Susan Young?
Yes.
Votes yes. Let's see, Sue Goodwin, we have not heard from you. Can someone, I don't know, is Sue Goodwin still on the call?
Ms. Grimes, unmuted, Marianne.
I don't know what to do about that.
She's still on the call.
Pardon?
She is still on the call. She's just muted.
Well, I don't know what to do about that. Donna Grimes, you moved to pass. How do you choose to vote?
No.
You vote no. Let's see, who else have we got? I think that's everybody except for, Sue Goodwin. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 yes votes. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 no votes.
The chair?
Yes, Mr. Tatum. Go ahead. Oh, I see. He's asking if I wanted to vote. I'll abstain.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. I keep forgetting. Julie, how do you choose to vote?
I'll abstain.
Abstain.
Hi, honey.
Did I? Okay. So 7 yes votes and 10 no votes.
Hey.
The motion fails.